Let's talk about the investigative news.
It's
even the, you got Carl Monday, Tom Meyer, those are the two I remember. Anybody else that you can add to that list that
kind of started? Well, there's so many. I mean, Lori Taylor's still doing it. Paul Orlowski, Bill Scheel, of course. In fact, I just saw Paul and Carl, they're both over at Channel 19. That's a rough business, and there's an even rougher business, being their videographer. Because if they say if somebody's going to come after you, they're going to get rid of the evidence first, get rid of the camera, then you go after the investigative reporter. Carl and Paul have been sued plenty of times and have never lost a case because they're just that good. Same thing with Tom Meyer. It's a rough business. I mean, they've been threatened. They've been, I don't know how many times you've heard that, they had special security surrounding them. And for a time, in the 1980s, Carl Monday had a listed phone number. Because he said he wanted people to call him with tips.
Well, that's how you get you work the street. That's how you get the information.
And that's it.
Of course, it is kind of, I don't know if it's still done the same because of the budgets and the time. It's a long process. Everybody wants something that was shot last night that they found on their phones that they post up there.
Yeah.
And then they kind of sort through it later. Whereas those kind of things, they kind of have to plot along in some sort of a slow pace. And I don't know if his media or us as consumers want to wait that long for something.
Well, the thing is, they expect a lot of, if you're an investigative reporter, you got to keep doing it every day. You might have a story that takes a week, but when that one's done, you better have one that's even bigger than that. You know, it's funny because Carl Monday, one of his most famous confrontations, maybe the one that lost George Forbes the mayor's race, was when he confronted George about a water bill that he didn't pay. And he owed $400, but he never had his water turned off. Well, those two knew each other from, when they were doing radio together. And there was a confrontation. And it became a very celebrated TV spot. And, in fact, Carl won an Emmy about that, for that story. Well, about 20 years later, on the 20th anniversary, Carl went back to talk to George Forbes. George was laughing, and he said, "Listen, I won that Emmy for you, so I want you to bring the Emmy." And he did. At any rate, he said, "George, come on, why is it? You're an attorney. You're the president of the Cleveland City Council. Why did you not pay your water bill?" And George said, "My wife wanted a fur coat, and I didn't have the money."
You've got a lot of different stories. We got fun stories in here, some serious one as well. You detailed the whole sex scandal involving the Morning Exchange, Joel Rose.
Yeah,
in here.
Yeah, very sad case.
And
yeah.
You even have the one that I kind of remember has to do with the suicide on air, Bud Dwyer.
Wow.
That is one that, for television, that is really one of those moments where you're wondering, what am I seeing? What is happening here?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because Channel 5 ran that, and they actually showed the entire suicide. It is one of the most frightening things you've ever seen. Now, I'll tell your listeners this. You could see it on YouTube, but let me also warn you, you cannot unsee it once you've seen it. I mean, it's one of the most frightening things, and it was a live suicide right on the air. And the tape went around, and usually in something like that, you edit it. Channel 5 decided to run it not once, but twice, and took a lot of flack for it.
Well, there's a whole lot of that if you work in the TV business where you see things that come off the feeds and you determine what the viewer is going to see. So there's obviously things. I know that one of the channels I remember watching it, they basically went to a freeze frame and you just heard the gunshot at some particular point like that. So.
You know, it's funny because Jan and I, my wife Janice, when we were writing this book, we were talking about that, you know, it's a case where a lot of these folks get out of the TV business because it's a lot like being an emergency room nurse or a MASH hospital or something. You're seeing just so much of this every day, and you're probably going to see it the next day, and there's only so much you could take. It takes a special person to be a TV news person.
Maybe that explains why Marty Sullivan has an alter ego of Superhost. Here's a guy who's a news. That was the strangest thing as a child to suddenly realize, hey, Superhost, he's the guy that's doing the news later on at some point like that. You're thinking, I know there's not much of a disguise, and I understand that people wonder how Clark Kent and Superman can't be recognized. But as a kid, you're thinking, I can't be the same guy who was doing that goofy Saturday afternoon movie host.
The funniest thing was they used to do that live, the Superhost show on Saturdays, and they would tape the newscast ahead of time. So, like, during the movie, they would come up to Marty and say, "Okay, Marty, let's do that five-minute newscast." And he would simply rub off his red nose. He would put on, except once when he forgot to. He would put on a jacket, a tie, and a shirt, and he would do the news from behind a podium. Well, we were able to find a photo of him doing the news where, from the top up, he's Marty Sullivan, newsman. From the bottom down, you see Superhost.
Well, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. If you're just out of the camera angle, you know, the camera gives you the perfect shot. Everything else is the magic of television if you're there.
Well, they say it's like, you don't want to see sausage being made, right. Put it that way.
Right. as well. Again, the book is
the finished product.
It's Cleveland TV Tales, Volume 2. Our guest today has been Mike Olszewski. This is just out. Another chance for people in Cleveland to relive their past, pine for the glory days. But I guess we should embrace what's happening today, right? There's a lot of things. The future Mike Olszewski would write a book about what's happening in the new century.
You know what? It's funny that you mention that, because I also teach courses, and radio and television changes, okay? But here's one thing that won't change. We're going to need programming. Just because the delivery is going to change, that doesn't mean that we're not going to need a lot of programming. In fact, as the delivery becomes a lot easier, that means we're going to need more programming than ever before. Well, that's good, because, if it's not under the strict restrictions of TV broadcast, you can have older people on the air, or people that may have a different way of doing the news, because there's going to be more opportunities. It's like your cable. I mean, you've got how many, 200, 300 channels on your cable? Well, it's become a lot more niche broadcasting. I will say this, though, as far as local broadcasting is concerned, we're not going to see people around for 20, 30 years like we did with Dorothy Fulheim, Captain Penny, Lynn Sheldon, all those people, because moods change, and, I'm obviously, some people just decide it's better to go into something else. But we were very lucky to have seen the TV that we did up to this point.
Well, it kind of, I guess, makes Clevelanders who they are. It also influences the future generation by seeing somebody set a standard, and they want to emulate that person or be like that.
That is so true. It's funny, because whenever I've worked with any of the old-time broadcasters, and people will come up and say, I grew up with you, they put their hands over their ears because they think, I can't be that old. But their influence is really that great. I mean, when one of the biggest fans of Gene Carroll, if you remember Gene Carroll, was a guy named Don Novello. And Don Novello worked with all the biggest names in show business. He's Father Guido Sarducci from Saturday Night Live. But he loved Uncle Jake, and he loved Captain Penny, and when he was growing up, because he grew up in Lorraine. And he also loved, obviously, Gene Carroll and Barnaby, Lynn Sheldon. So it just shows you the far-reaching influence all of these people have on us.
And many of the programs we watch on television now have some Cleveland connection with the culture of the people who grew up here and then go become writers and put some influence into that as well.
Oh, so very true, yeah.
I enjoy watching Patricia Heaton, who's on that middle show where there's some reference. It just sort of sometimes reeks of sort of Northeast Ohio mentality in a lot of that.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because if you look at Dan O'Shannon, who wrote Modern Family, now does Odd Couple, and he's paired with another person from Warrensville Heights, that's Yvette Nicole Brown, Steve Scrovan, Ed O'Neill, who played Al Bundy, and now he's on Modern Family. Whenever they can, they sneak in a Northeast Ohio reference. Sometimes it's just an inside joke, but they might mention a radio personality. Or on Modern Family, Ed O'Neill, one day he mentioned Jeff Kutash. Jeff Kutash was the choreographer for the Upbeat show. And it just meant something to people in Cleveland. Any place else, again, who's that?
Well, I'm trying to still figure out the reference to Cliff Bemis on the credits of the Grindr show as the actual producer of the show. Cliff Bemis, who done Jacques Brel in Northeast Ohio as well. His name is put in there, and supposedly, who knows where that's going to go. But there's always interesting references out there for people. It's kind
of sometimes they do it just, as a tip of the hat, a nod to somebody who was very influential. If you watch the old Carol Burnett shows, every once in a while she'll introduce Ernie Anderson in the audience. Well, Ernie only was only in the audience once. They just kept using that same clip over and over.
Did he get royalties for that?
Knowing that guy, he was pretty well off. I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
He knew where to make the coin, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
The book Cleveland TV Tales, Volume 2, our guest Mike Olszewski. Mike, thanks for sharing the details. Book's available everywhere out there, and people who love Cleveland TV will love this book. Thanks.
Well, I'm very honored, and go out and buy the book, and we'll do another one after that. How's
that? Thanks so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.